Kia rana. Hello and welcome to CookieCast, the podcast that's all about the Cook Islands. This is the place to meet people who have a unique insight into this Polynesian paradise in the South Pacific. I'm John Roberts, and in this episode, I'll be talking to a young Australian who ended up by chance on one of the most remote and beautiful of the Cook Islands while rowing single-handed across the Pacific. Yes, you heard that right. 24-year-old Tom Robinson is aiming to become the youngest person ever to row single-handed across the vast Pacific Ocean. And on the way, he spent 4 months on the island of Penrhyn, also known as Tongariva, after being blown off course 160 days and 5,000 miles into his 8,000-mile voyage. First, though, let's find out a little bit more about Penrhyn.
Did you know?
At 9 degrees below the equator, Penrhyn is the most northerly of the Cook Islands, and it's nearer Samoa than the capital island of Rarotonga. Its stunningly beautiful lagoon covers 233 square kilometres, and that's more than the total land area of all 15 of the Cook Islands put together. 233 people live in two villages, each on their own island in the lagoon, which is dotted with 53 tiny islets or motus. Getting to the island is neither easy nor cheap. Air Rarotonga operates on a charter-only basis, and a return ticket for the 5-hour journey will set you back at least 3,000 New Zealand dollars. Not surprising, then, that tourism is almost non-existent. Well, Tom Robinson was no tourist. In fact, he was heading for the Marquesas when he was blown off course, and the occasional cargo ship aside, his was the first international vessel to land at Penrhyn for 3 years. I caught up with him while he was on the island and asked him first to tell me about what it was like to make landfall after 160 days of rowing alone at sea.
Yeah, it was a really, really strange experience for me, because most of the time when you're going somewhere, you've got a picture in your mind of what that place looks like. Maybe you've read a travel brochure or you sort of know where you're going. But I had no idea about this island. I just had a rough sketch in a book about it, and there was just a short blurb, so I didn't know at all what to expect, and I was a little nervous, to be honest. But thankfully, my shore team at home had organised for the locals here to come out and tow me through one of the passes into the lagoon of the atoll, because it's very dangerous to go in and out of these passes. And so I was rowing along, and I could see Penrhyn in the distance, and it looked so green and luscious and kind of foreboding, but also so beautiful. And this big work barge comes out, this aluminium work barge, and there's about 10 people on board, and they're all chatting in Maori and looking at me and taking pictures, and I'm looking at them and taking pictures. And these are the first people I've seen in a very long time, and so it was all really strange. And I threw them a tow line, and they towed me in through the Eastern Pass, and we went past a village, Te Tautua, and there's about 35 people live there, and they all came out of their houses and they waved at me as we went past. We made our way across the lagoon to Omaka, the main village here, where there's about 160, 70 people. And there was quite a few people on the wharf to meet me there and shake my hand. And I was given some fruit, and it was all very warm and welcoming. And then a fellow comes up to me and he says, "Tom, thank you for coming to Penrhyn, and we're really happy to have you here. But I have to inform you now that you're no longer Tom Robinson. You now have a Penrhyn name, and your new name is Mahuta Hui Hui Asanga." And so he explained to me that Mahuta was a fighter and a warrior and a chief from the olden days, they say. Hoi hoi means to paddle, and Asanga is from afar, so the warrior that has paddled from afar. And I was just so emotional and so blown away by this really warm experience that they'd welcomed me into their community.
I was going to say, it must have been pretty emotional for you. You know, 160 days at sea, and suddenly you're with real people again.
Yeah, it was really odd, and I was having to shake hands and make conversation and walk even. Walking was really difficult. It was really hard to walk. Just all these sort of new experiences for me, and it was really, really strange, yeah.
So what's life like for you on Penrhyn? You know, tell me what you can see when you wake up each morning.
Yeah, okay, life's quite idyllic. Each morning I wake up and I open the front doors of well, the place where I'm staying, and I look out over the lagoon here, and the sun's coming up, and there's people on their bikes riding back and forth. And yeah, Penryn's an amazing little slice of paradise. And the longer I stay here, the better it gets. You'd think maybe it would go the other way, and after a few months on a remote atoll, things might get a bit dull, but it's an amazing place. The people here are devout Christians, so they've got church very regularly, which I also attend. There's lots of singing, there's dancing, there's lots of fishing, there's lots of communal activities and eating, and it really is just an amazing place. And this lagoon here, it's quite a large lagoon, and it's just stunning. It's so beautiful, and the trade winds blow across, and so it's always nice and cool here. And it's sort of like a quaint little village here, really. And the people are all so warm and friendly. So, yeah, it's quite an amazing place, Penrith.
It's a huge lagoon. It's one of the largest lagoons in the world. So that must be a pretty amazing sight. Can you describe it a little bit more for me?
So where we are here on the western side of the lagoon, when you're sort of standing on the beach, you can see the little islets, the motus they call them, on the eastern side. And you can just make out a few of the houses on the eastern side, which is about 7, 8 miles away. And you look to the north and you can see the motus around the north. But looking to the south, you can't see them because they're too far in the distance. And so it's kind of like this massive expanse. And because we're protected by the coral reef that surrounds, it's quite calm inside the lagoon. And it's all very much like paradise. It really is quite beautiful, and the coconut palms hang over the edge of the water, and it's just, it's very beautiful.
So what can you hear? What can you smell? You know, try and set the scene for me in terms of what this island is like.
Okay, what can I smell? I can smell the salt air of the sea. That's sort of the only smell here. I feel like when you're in a city, there's sometimes smells of cars and industry and things like that, but here there's none of that, and I can just smell the salt air of the sea, which you get used to quite easily. And the sounds, well, there's just the constant sound of the trade winds blowing through the coconut palms and the waves lapping on the beach. And then the other sound that's really common here is singing. So I'm always hearing singing from the church, or from a communal gathering or practice they have on regularly. So yeah, the sound of singing and the sound of the trade winds through the coconut palms is sort of like the defining sounds of Penryn. Also, the bikes, the people all here have bikes and they ride up and down to go to school or to church or to the shop or all that sort of thing.
What do you do all day? Do you get bored?
Yeah, look, lots of people ask me, are you bored on this small island, Tom? And the answer is no way. There's no real opportunity to get bored here. I've sort of made sure that I've involved myself as much as possible in island life. And the people here aren't bored, so I'm not either. So there's always fishing to be done. There's cooking, there's church and singing and dancing and drumming, and there's just maintenance, folding the washing and the chores around the house and all those sorts of things. And there's also time just to sit and chat with other people, which is sort of a big part of life here. And so for me, I tend to do all those things. I'm also helping build a new house with some of the people here for the reverend of the church. And I do some writing in my spare time and some reading. And we have internet here too, so I'm able to access the internet and do a few things like that.
You talked about the church. The church plays an important part in daily life, and it seems to have had a profound impact on you as well.
Yes, indeed. It has had a very profound impact. I suppose for me, I wasn't raised in a particularly religious family, but I suppose Christianity for me has always been something I've been interested in, and I've had friends that are quite devout Christians. And so I took a Bible on my journey. That was really important for me. And I'd never read it ever, but I took it on the journey and I read it while I was at sea, and it was just fantastic. It was amazing. It really helped me when times were bad. And just when times were good, it was helpful as well. It was just such a powerful book, and I'm really glad I took it on that journey. And so to have that sort of experience alone, just me and the Bible, and then to come to Penryn, where every single person here attends the same church, and they go sometimes 5 times in a week. So that's just been a really sort of, I guess, a really sort of spiritual journey for me. And so I've been attending church just like everyone else has and involving myself as much as possible. And although the services are in Maori, so I can't understand a word that's being said, still they're quite powerful and impactful on me. And it's been quite a journey.
What do you remember of your first visit to an island church?
I remember just being, I was sort of overcome with emotion because of the singing. The whole church stood up, and there was this one voice at the back. It was an old mama, and she just started this most amazing solo. And a few seconds later, the whole church chimed in, and it was just this amazing, powerful, and really uplifting experience. And I was really moved by it. And everyone sung, from the oldest mama down to the youngest kids. They all sung, and they sung with all their hearts. They really did. And I kind of sort of zoomed out on this experience and thought about what a tiny speck of land we're sitting on in such a vast ocean. And it was really fantastic.
What will you miss most when you leave Penryn? What lasting memories will you take with you?
Oh, so much, John. I think the warmth of the people is a big thing, and the beauty of the place. Everyone here is really very friendly, and so I could go to anyone's house and have dinner and invite myself over. And so I'll miss the warmth of the people. I'll miss the grass and the coconut trees and the church and that whole setting. It's all really beautiful. And watching the sunsets from the beach. I guess I'll be watching the sunsets from my boat every night as well, but it's not quite the same. So I'll miss the people. I'll miss all the children a lot too. They're always friendly and they're always asking me questions and annoying me sometimes, but they're really good here.
Do you think this stopover on Penryn has changed you as a person?
I think it's made me appreciate things at an earlier stage in life. I think we're all sort of on this journey and we all learn to appreciate lots of aspects of life, but when we learn to appreciate those things may come at a different time. And so for me to be a part of this really simple yet cohesive and successful community at this age has really sort of, I guess it's somewhat changed my outlook, and it really makes me question all my desires and aspirations and dreams for life in a city, and makes me wonder if they're not sort of aspiring for the wrong things, I guess.
Does that suggest that perhaps one day you'd want to go back to Penryn and live there for good?
Oh, it's very tempting. It's very tempting. It's such a great place. Yeah, I question myself every day. I wonder, could I live here on this isolated speck? And I'm still unsure if it would work. But it's a good question to entertain. Next adventure and the next adventure, and it's sort of a different thing each day. And who knows what it'll be? But I'm sure it'll involve another boat and probably a sail this time instead of oars, just to make things a bit easier.
Tom, this is a journey that's going to put you in the record books as the youngest person to row single-handed across the Pacific, and that was your childhood dream. But you've also said this epic voyage isn't all about you. What do you mean by that?
Look, I guess, yeah, it's kind of funny that for me, it was just about this sort of journey of mine. And as it's progressed, I've realized that there are more people following along and being inspired by this journey of mine. And I guess my approach to this journey, which differs somewhat from most people, is that it's been a fairly sort of low budget, grassroots, do-it-yourself sort of journey. I designed and built the boat myself. It's all been done by me. There's not really been, like, for a lot of people with these sorts of endeavors, there's major sponsors and there's big budgets and there's managers and there's all this sort of crazy thing. But I'd like to sort of encourage people, anyone really, that if they want to go out there and achieve something rather grand, I guess you could say, then it really is possible, and there's no need to plaster stickers all over your boat, and that there's no need for massive budget. So don't be intimidated by these sorts of things. With a sort of pragmatic and sort of simple approach to things, It's all really possible.
You're trying to inspire others. Would that be a fair way of describing it?
Yeah, I'm not going to go and encourage everyone to go and row across the Pacific because it's pretty painful sometimes. But yeah, I would definitely like to inspire other people to go out there and have their own adventure, however they do it. It doesn't need to be as grandiose as this, but it really is possible, and it's just a lot of small steps, and then yeah, great things can happen.
Since recording that chat, Tom has made landfall in American Samoa and he's now set sail again. Perhaps heading home to Brisbane, Australia, perhaps stopping off at some places along the way. I'm sure we all wish Tom a safe and successful voyage. I hope you'll join me again soon when I'll be chatting to another guest with a fascinating insight into the Cook Islands. That's all for now on CookieCast. Please tell your friends. Meanwhile, let me leave you with more of the amazing singing from Tongariva Penrhyn. Ka kite.